the beats with Jess Bowen and Bowie J.
G'day, it is Bowie J with Jess Bowen for Babes Behind the Beats, and I'm just so excited because today we get to hear some behind the scenes from one of Billboard's top business managers of 2022. It's Kristen Lee.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited about this.
You have a fascinating role. Can you tell us exactly what your role as a business manager is?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of a fancy title for an accountant, more or less. I would say a large part of our day-to-day activities are, you know, accounting, bookkeeping, accounts payable, receivable, except for, you know, it's obviously very niche being in entertainment. So there's just a lot of nuance to the day-to-day activities in terms of, you know, touring and recording and filming and how these jobs just take people all over the world and all of the, you know, tax things that might be triggered depending on which territories they're going to, like how insurances work, how payrolls work. So it gets pretty nitty gritty, but you know, the core backbone of what we do is a lot of accounting work that ends up, you know, leading to tax filings and keeping books and all that stuff.
And how did you get into it then? Because being a niche industry, even in music, were you interested in music or the entertainment business? How did that all happen?
Yeah, I have been hanging around in music for, you know, well over 20 years, 25 years, you know, going to shows. I played in bands. I toured a little bit a long time ago. And when I, you know, kind of had to take my life a little bit more seriously and start thinking about a career, I went more into the business side of music. And I, you know, dabbled around like working with a label and doing some management stuff. And then I ended up going to school for accounting. My dad and my stepmom are accountants. I learned a lot from them. I worked with them. And, you know, I found that to be boring, but I was good at it. I just so happened upon this woman in LA, and she told me, you know, musicians and entertainers, they need accountants too. It's like this light bulb went off. Oh, yeah, of course they do. And she got me my first job, and I've been doing this ever since. And it's like the greatest thing that's ever happened to me.
Wow. So your first job, what did that entail?
I was a big firm, huge firm in LA. They've got like 200 people there. And I started just as a bookkeeper. And I just was like paying bills, keeping books and keeping the lights on and doing all that. And I just really enjoyed it. I asked lots of questions. I got very nosy. Probably got myself in a little bit of trouble for asking too many questions. But I just wanted to know everything, you know, and I knew this is what I wanted to do. And so I had to really dive deep. And so, yeah, I really pushed my way forward.
Fantastic. And would you say the type of person who has a business manager, as it say we're talking in the music industry, is that you have to be on the bigger scale or are you doing some smaller artists as well?
We do work with some developing artists. You know, the goal is always for, you know, us to all see someone succeed at whatever level they really want to. We largely work on a percentage basis with our clients. So I think it would behoove everyone involved, managers, lawyers, otherwise, you know, to have an artist that doesn't start making real money and having a big career, you know, or trying to build a business, and you got to have money if you want to have a successful business. But, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere too. So it's not always just getting somebody that's like at their peak. Sometimes it takes years for us to, you know, take an artist that's like developing into something that's really, you know, big, big business.
Right. Yeah. I had a quick question on the touring side of things. Do you help make budgets for tours for your artists then? You're on that, you're completely like doing that side of things?
Totally. You know, the good thing about that is like really kind of getting a lay of the land and making some decisions if you need to, you know, make some cuts or adjustments like before you leave, so you're not surprised at the end. But then we'll also do a final accounting at the end that we'll put in comparison with the budget, so you can kind of see, you know, where your holes are or, you know, something that went better than expected. I think it's always good to have that knowledge and information moving forward so you can make, you know, better decisions for your business, you know, the next time around and get things really dialed in.
I think that's so interesting because, yeah, for my level of band, we have, you know, we don't have a business manager. We only have management. And so it's they're the ones making kind of those budgets for us too. With that being said, do you think that's, in your opinion, is that a conflict of interest when you have the management running kind of the accounting for you as well, instead of having a business manager?
Well, you know, so business management was split out from management, probably in like the 50s or 60s. So basically, you know, a long time ago, like, you know, days of like Sinatra and Elvis and stuff, a lot of the money went through the manager. I do find, you know, that there have been a lot of pretty famous scenarios, though, where that did not go well for the artist. And I don't know that's necessarily a conflict of interest, but I mean, if I were a manager, I wouldn't want that responsibility either, because it's just easily go south for everyone involved. I think it's just having a set of checks and balances for, you know, everyone on the team. But the artists, really, I mean, our job is to protect them and their financial well-being.
When you're being a business manager and you're seeing all the different income streams, has the industry changed a lot? So you're now having to look out for, I guess, new opportunities to earn money, or the old ways aren't working anymore?
Yeah, you know, we were obviously heavily challenged with this over the pandemic, especially, you know, clients who made a lot of their bread and butter on the road suddenly found themselves grounded and needed to find new income streams and get really creative. But, you know, it's interesting because when you have a total breakdown of something, that's usually like the biggest catalyst for change. So, you know, I think there has been a lot of new opportunity that has come out of that, or just a different way of looking at, you know, the business as a whole and realizing, you know, where things need to be more diversified or that we need to focus on some other stuff. You know, it's, I think the most successful artist out there, you know, you use their touring as a big marketing tool, usually for the new music or other things that they've got going on. But, you know, they also usually have other business ventures that are kind of tacked on to this entire thing, you know, whether it's like merchandising or branding or, you know, clothing lines or perfumes or whatever.
Right.
You do start to see, like, you know, the big, big artists, they're doing the most, you know.
Oh, I bet. And I suppose, legal's dealing with all the trademarks for all of that, and then you're dealing with financial side. Have you noticed, now that everyone's back on the road again, is it still profitable for artists to be on the road? Because I've read so many things that artists are running at a loss now.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah. It's interesting because some people are still doing really well on the road, but it's probably those artists that already were pretty good at bringing home a profit on the road. The margins on touring often are very slim because it's just so expensive. You've got buses, you've got the payroll, you've got production, you got trucks, and you've got the pyrotechnics and insurance, and all these things are extremely costly. But what we found post-pandemic is, you know, gas prices were double what they used to be. Flights, hotels all got more expensive in the last like couple of years. Bus companies raised their rates, you know, because they're looking to recoup all these losses they had while they were just parked for 2 years. And so it makes sense, you know, just in inflation in general. And you've got to budget for those things where, you know, you're thinking ahead of how much more everything costs. But what's not going up at the same rate as all the expenses is the income. And I think the post-pandemic touring world really saw, you know, a crazy saturation of everybody finally trying to get back out there. So there's just less to go around. When you've got a bunch of artists coming through the same market just every single night, people got to make decisions on what shows they're going to pay money for and which ones they're not, because a lot of people are living on a budget, you know, so there's really only so much to go around. I think that's largely why.
Where are you seeing that artists are really maybe like thriving the most these days? Is social media and like partnerships with, I don't know, things through TikTok or Instagram or whatever, is that something that has been benefiting with your artists on that financial side?
You know, I kind of think that avenue is slowing down heavily. And I don't know if it's a general exhaustion of social media just because a lot of us were on it more heavily during the pandemic and now we're just kind of tired of it. But I also think some of those advertising things are very contrived. I don't necessarily know that people are buying into it. I don't know that there's a good return on it. I think it used to be that, you know, they've changed the laws around what you're allowed to do with those social media branding posts as well. It has to very specifically outline that it's an ad. And I think it was more viral and the campaigns were probably more successful and it was a little less obvious and people were intrigued by it. But now it's just like hashtag ad and we're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're being paid for this. I think it makes people care less somehow, you know, just knowing that they're being sold to.
Yeah, wow. If you were to advise an artist, that, say a big artist, but maybe not Gaga, not that big, but maybe someone in between, someone big enough to come to you, but not the world's biggest, what would you be advising them? Which income stream would you say, hey, this is the new income stream, or this is the one to focus on? Or would you still be doing a bit of everything?
You know, it's going to be different for every artist. I think it's important to analyze your income streams, your fan base, what they want to see, what works well with them, what doesn't, and focus on that. You know, it's focus on what's working or try some new things if nothing's working. But I think there are income streams that definitely just stand out. Like, you know, somebody will have some kind of windfall or some campaign will do really well, or and be like, wow, this is really cool, but you know, we got to do more of this clearly because it just did so well. And just kind of building upon that is the most important thing. And that could just be different every single person that you talk to, just depending on the demographics and what people gravitate towards and like to get from their favorite artists. And yeah, it's definitely not a one size fits all. I think it's a lot of watching what's going on around you and being very aware and then being able to, you know, kind of capitalize on that movement.
What would you advise maybe a smaller artist who's doing well, but an upcoming artist? Dodgy things you've seen in the industry, what would you be saying? Like, you need to be checking the books and all that kind of stuff because you can't trust anyone, or but what advice would you give to maybe upcoming artists?
I mean, nobody should work with anybody that they don't trust fully with their business and their life. You know, it's, I was just talking to someone today in the office about alignment with your team and making sure that everybody sees the same vision and, you know, wants the same end result and has, you know, this goal in mind. Because if everybody wants something a little bit different or disagrees on how it's going to be done, I think there's a major breakdown there. And I think that's a huge roadblock for a lot of artists. So it's, you know, you can't force a circle into a square. You really got to make sure everything is working cohesively and that your team is not disjointed and that things are authentic. I feel like fans know when stuff is contrived and when things, you know, are lacking authenticity and they're not buying it.
Totally.
I mean, just me personally, I would like to keep an eye on the books and all that kind of stuff, because I feel like if you let someone have too much control, I definitely want to be checking all that stuff. I mean, would you be advising people to do that?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's not my business. I don't make the money. I don't spend the money, but we're here to help. You know, we're here to organize it in a way, disseminate information in a way that hopefully is useful to the artists and their team. But, you know, at the end of the day, it really is their business. And, you know, some people like to be more involved in the day to day than others. But I think it's important to at least have the lay of the land, you know, even at a very general level. You know, you got to have agency over your own stuff.
Yeah. I saw one artist being interviewed and said he was calling his business manager to ask whether he could buy a car or something. So yeah. I was like, I guess there's different levels of, you know, how involved you as in your role would be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want my clients to call me before they make a big purchase all the time. That just comes out of the bank or shows up on a credit card and I didn't know about it. We got a problem.
Ah, right.
I don't like surprises.
Like getting into the actual like business side of artists that are working with filing taxes and like keeping things super organized. Are there any like tricks or trades that you could, I don't know if you can share any of that information or any advice you have as far as like things that you can write off that maybe people wouldn't know about?
Yeah, that's a really good question. You know, I think even if you're just acting as a sole proprietor, just having a separate business account that's just the business activities and income and expenses, having a credit card that's dedicated to just that so that you can easily track everything that's going on business-wise is always good. And, you know, the more detailed you can be with record keeping and the more organized you can be, that's always going to be super helpful. I think everybody kind of has a different system of, you know, what works for them and, you know, what doesn't. But, you know, at the very least, it's like find a system that works for you and just be as organized as you possibly can. Some artists are way better at this than others. You know, we've had client meetings where these people come in and they've just got everything just to a T. And I'm like, do you want a job here? And then I've also gotten like a trash bag full of receipts.
Oh my God.
I was like, really?
Oh man. What about the structure for an upcoming band that's doing reasonably well? Are they best to be an LLC or does it not really matter?
I think that, you know, the entity structure depends on a few things, like, you know, where they are, how many people are involved, how many owners are going to be, da, 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 da. And from a personal liability standpoint, yeah, you want some kind of entity usually just to keep your business separated. However, you know, we have artists who maybe don't have that many personal assets just yet. So it might, you know, there might not be much to protect. I think there's usually just like that overwhelming feeling of like knowing when it's time though, like, okay, this has to happen now. It's like, it really does need to get separated out. But you know, there's administrative costs and taxes and stuff that go along with having an entity too. So you don't want to overextend yourself in the way of racking up expenses that aren't truly, truly necessary too soon either.
Yeah. And when you're talking about protecting your assets, you mean that you as the business can be sued and then they could get your house if you had a house. But
totally.
But if you don't have any assets, probably not an issue at the moment. But
right. Exactly.
Are there more deductions if you've got a company versus if you're a sole proprietor?
No, not really. I mean, for largely, you know, the deductibility of things is, you know, really based kind of on industry more so than the entity type. You know, as a standard rule, it's like taxes are taxes. But I think working in entertainment, you do get a little bit more leeway just because there's just some unique situations that I feel can be justified to, you know, allow deductions of certain costs, whereas, you know, a lot of people wouldn't get that opportunity, you know, otherwise.
Yeah.
So like writing off clothing, for instance, that's something maybe people wouldn't do or know to do, maybe, for instance, like, oh, if you buy clothing for like a photo shoot, like that's something you can write off, right? Like if you're doing that.
That's an interesting one because wardrobe, the IRS has very specific rules around wardrobe where basically if it can be worn out on the street, like street clothes, and they don't consider that deductible, it would need to be something that's a little bit more specific, you know, uniforms or custom made costumes or things that are really meant for performing or the stage or for filming. Yeah, because it's like, okay, if you can just go out on the street after just wearing like t-shirt and jeans, it's like.
Now, if someone wanted to get into your job and do that for a career, what would you suggest? Should they study accounting or are there other ways to get in without doing that?
Yeah, I think studying accounting is, you know, kind of a foolproof way to go. It's definitely the most straight shooting. But, you know, there are business managers that are, you know, more on the financial planning side. That's a little bit less like accounting and tax. Some lawyers have become business managers, but I do think, you know, to be a business manager, just our job really does revolve around taxes so heavily. To get to a certain level of business manager, you do need to have a solid understanding of tax and accounting principles.
Yeah, very interesting. I mean, what a cool job you've got from, as you said, being a, well, your parents' style of accounting, I won't say boring accountant, to your very exciting life. So I'm sure you get to do some cool things as part of your job.
Yeah, we have good perks. It's super fun.
Amazing. Well, Kristen, thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge with us and for being willing to come on the show. For anyone who wants to follow you on social media and, you know, maybe get some more advice from you, do you want to share the platforms, maybe your handles that you're the most active on that they can reach out to you?
Yeah, definitely. I am on Instagram. The firm's Instagram is KLBM LLC, and I am Miss Kristen Lee.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, again, thank you for all of this. Maybe I'm going to have to come to you to do some accounting for me because I think I was writing off my clothes and maybe the IRS is going to come after me.
It's okay to ask for forgiveness, not permission.
There you go. Love that. Awesome. Well, thanks again for being here, Kristen.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Babes Behind the Beats with Jess Bowen and Bowie Jane. Head over to our Instagram, Babes Behind the Beats, and our TikTok, and send us a message over there on who you'd like on the show next.